May your word only be spoken and your word only heard. Amen. I get extra credit today. Verse 24 to 30 of the Gospel of Mark were added to our reading for today when we started to use the Revised Common Lectionary 15 years ago. Before that, our lectionary left them out. Other mainline churches included these verses all along, and so I wondered if we had shied away from the more difficult story or even the more poignant message. When I first read the passage in preparation for this morning, I could see that preaching about the healing of the deaf man in the latter verses appointed for today, which were the only verses we used to read in worship on this particular Sunday, might be a bit more uplifting and maybe positive. But through the week, I was continually plagued by the story of the Syrophoenician woman and her daughter. The Aramaic word, aphatha, which means be opened, caused me to look again at this story. Now, at first glance, this passage from the Gospel of Mark, as you've heard it read this morning, is a troubling story. At first glance, it might well alter the picture of just who Jesus was. That is, if we have in mind that Jesus was always kind and compassionate and moved about the countryside doing good and extending kindness to all people who were otherwise rejected by society, then here we have to wrestle with an image of Jesus that seems to show him as cold and unfeeling. So let's run back over the story a little. Jesus is up in the northern part of Galilee, and he leaves the area. He crosses the border and goes further north into the area of Tyre and Sidon, into lands that would have been part of ancient Phoenicia and what would have been Syria. There, Jesus encounters a woman who is described as a Syrophoenician, a description that indicates that she was from Palestine, but she was not Jewish. She was a Gentile with terrible problems. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. As in other gospel stories, we don't know what was wrong with the girl, except to say that she was living with some emotional or physical challenge. This mother sought out Jesus, which took a great deal of courage. She was a woman, she was not Jewish, and she was a sinner. A sinner due to the accepted assumption of the time that cases of demon possession in children was the result of the sin of the parent. This woman asks for help, and Jesus says nothing. No answer. So she continues to follow and plead her case. And then the disciples ask Jesus to get rid of her, which leads him to say that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Still, the woman persists, being bold enough to run up in front of Jesus and throw herself down at his feet. In response to this final plea, Jesus makes a statement that is ice cold. He tells her that it is not right to take bread from children so that it can be thrown to the dogs. It's hard to imagine how such an insult could have failed to get rid of this woman. But it seems to me that her utter love for her child and this amazing faith in Jesus' power to heal drove her on and gave her the inner strength to stand firm in her desire for help. She told Jesus that she, like a dog, would be content to lap up the scraps that fell off the children's plates. So Jesus lets go of his argument with her and heals her daughter. Does Jesus, as we meet him in this encounter, seem like the Jesus that we have pictured in our heart, in our life? Does this sound like the Jesus who said, "Let the little children come to me, do not stop them, for it is such that the kingdom of God belongs"? Does this sound like the Jesus who said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing"? Does this sound like the Jesus through whom we come to know God, and the Jesus who is Savior and Redeemer and the lover of the marginalized? The Jesus who is our witness, our example, after which we pray to model our own lives? Or does this sound like a bigot? This is a difficult story, and one that causes me to ponder every single time it comes up. This much I suspect, that the author of Mark did not intend it to be a story about Jesus' personality per se. If we start asking questions about Jesus' temperament, then I think we're likely off base, at least what was intended by the author here. To make very much of this snapshot of Jesus as insensitive and even insulting would run counter to everything else that we might believe about him from the Gospels. So we search for meaning here. Even the excuses that I've heard offered by other preachers throughout the years on Jesus' behalf, he was testing her or bringing her to a point of humility or using her as an example of faith for his observing followers, or that he was tired and having a bad day. He was testing his disciples. None of it rings true for me. So what then? I suspect that the real point of the story has less to do with how Jesus behaved and more to do with the direction of the early church's mission. After Jesus' death, the church's mission was a hot topic, so hot that at times it threatened to divide the new church. In fact, the first church convention was held to consider the contentious question of whether there would be any mission to the Gentiles, and if so, whether they would have to first become Jewish in order to become Christian. It was a difficult question. It reflected upon the ministry and example of Jesus, and what the early church folks saw was a mission to the house of Israel. And any push for a broader mission, such as the Great Commission commanded, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," was pretty scarce. But maybe strong enough. The author of Mark offers this little isolated incident, which is full of honest struggle and turmoil on the part of Jesus. Surely during Jesus' lifetime, the question surfaced: should I be going out to other lands as well? Are not all people to be touched by my love and my work? And it would seem that Jesus resisted the temptation to engage in such a broader ministry. Time was limited, people's perceptions of others were limited, and perhaps these were some of the factors which led him to restrict his mission. A decision that may well have tortured him. Could that be the turmoil we see in the story today? Whether to heal the daughter of a foreigner, whether to heal and minister to all of the foreigners who needed God's touch, whether to reach out to all of God's children, even if that turned his own followers away? Could this story be the author of Mark's reminder that while Jesus primarily served among the Jewish communities, he did not reject a mission to the wider world? Far from being primarily about the heartlessness of Jesus, it might be about his wrestling with human prejudice. The story serves as a strong reminder of Jesus' love for people outside human care. Jesus had taken time and opportunities within his earthly lifetime to reach beyond the boundaries set by human assumptions about others when needed. Assumptions which so often deny the love of God and the dignity of each human life to those who are perceived as different or unclean in some way. As if to reinforce the idea, the author of Mark portrays the Canaanite woman as being a perceptive and persistent disciple. In contrast to the disciples Jesus chose as intimates, the woman comes off quite favorably in Mark. Immediately before our story today, Jesus tells a parable, and the disciples ask what it means, prompting Jesus to scold them. "Then do you also fail to understand?" And immediately after today's text in Mark, Jesus feeds a crowd of 4,000. But later, when his disciples still worry about provisions, Jesus asks with irritation, "Do you not yet understand?" And sandwiched in the middle of these reminders of the lack of understanding of his closest disciples, ones accepted by the social and religious norms of the day, there is this story of the unwavering faithfulness and insight of a foreign woman. She knows that Jesus has the power to do the thing she asks. We find ourselves asking, just who is the true disciple here? In the end, as in the beginning, it is a troubling little story. This seems a harsh story of Jesus, which surely must have been intended as a lesson about the faithfulness that can come from persons from whom we least expect it. It is surely meant to be a reminder that we are called to love and to care for others beyond our prejudices and across boundaries that we might not wish to cross. It shows us the very human side of Jesus and also his capacity in the end to listen, see the divine where it was not seen before, and claim the value of two outcasts in today's gospel as children of God. When Jesus healed people, he not only saw to their needs, he restored them to community. Whenever Jesus heals, whether it's a demon-possessed girl, a man with leprosy, a bleeding woman, a deaf man, he heals not only the body, but the fracture within the community around them. As we look at the more palatable story of the healing of the deaf man, the word left in its original language, "ephphatha," jumps out, "be opened." This story opens up the gospel in a way that reminds us all that God's love has no boundaries. The good news is not limited to by geography or race or religion or age or gender. Nor is it bound by our own prejudice. It is alive and loving and filled with hope, our hope, as people of faith. The hope that we will hear these words of Jesus, "Ephphatha," and we will be opened. Commentator and theologian Amy Howe writes, "Human beings suffer from a deep insecurity that pushes us to create rules and laws that give status, power, and value to some, while denigrating, marginalizing, and disempowering others." In the first century, the poor, the infirm, the orphaned, the physically or mentally challenged, the foreign-tongued, those of another religion or orientation, and many women lived with very low status. In the 21st century, many of the people pushed to the margins in that first century are still on the margins today. Our fear of the other is leading to blatant injustice, as we see so clearly day after day after day. The Syro-Phoenician woman called Jesus to a mission of infinite compassion and mercy. We see in the two healings in this passage from the Gospel of Mark today, God's initiative to love all humanity lived in Jesus' own struggle and his turning to healing love. There are no external barriers between God and any human life. So we are called to hold no barriers between ourselves and another human life, a fatha. If we would ever hope to heal the divisions that separate us, we will have to hear these words and remember Jesus' own struggle, his crossing of boundaries, and his word to all of us, Ephphatha, be opened. It's hard. It was hard for Jesus at times. It's hard for us every day. It is a difficult struggle. But together in Christ, we must find a way. We must find a way for the sake of the gospel and God's loving hope for all humanity. Ephphatha, be opened. Amen.